up Bruce, and more like California in the USA, with huge suburban shopping centers, dating landscapes around the major cities, and homes equipped with dishwashers, washing machines, and color television, and passive personalities to stand transfixed before the TV bleep tube when they're not out drinking or involved in the drug traffic. Last reading of the news for the night, and then following will be the rerun on the television of Soldier Blue, a fantastic moral film. Diana Chronicle says Biko's murder, yet another South African scandal that goes unanswered by the Western world. If there's one thing which is more obnoxious than crass violations of people's human rights, it is the attempt to give the impression of solicitude over those rights. This is why the current affairs going on in South Africa in the aftermath of the murder of Black consciousness leader Steve Biko is so offensive to we who are third world people. It is hardly surprising that the police chief has been cleared of any responsibility and his entire force of the man's murder. Other vindications can be expected from time to time until probably a couple of the modern day stormtroopers eventually receive a light rap on the knuckle to appease the ire of an outraged third world. The racist minority regime in Pretoria is brazen enough to believe that such an eventual response will be enough to satisfy world opinion and the demand for justice from all progressive third world nations. No doubt they are brazen in this opinion because the United States has refused to grant sanctions, economic sanctions, against this Praetorian fascist regime. It would be puerile to believe that the trial going on in South Africa over Biko's death is not a political matter. The regime and what it stands for are now more than ever under the unblinking glare of third world scrutiny and condemnation. American foreign policy today is such that the regime is being publicly wrapped by its strongest ally and cannot as easily get away as in the past with atrocities against the Black majority in the country, although the American foreign policy follow-through will probably be weak in the net result. On the other hand, it must be borne in mind also that the regime represents a system, that of apartheid, racist separatism, which cannot be allowed at any cost to spread to the rest of the world and infect mankind further. Systems have a way of being able to absorb shocks and still survive, and it is purely a survival reflex that has caused the regime to stage this mock hearing, which is now going on. And after the reading of this news, which was Sunday's Chronicle, I just reported to you that Steve Biko's brother has been arrested and charged with a crime that means automatic sentence of 5 years. The world should therefore not be lulled into any belief that the Pretoria regime has suddenly succumbed to an attack of conscience. Such fascist regimes, wherever they are found and whatever guise, rarely do. In fact, whatever illusions the world might be tempted to nurture over the Biko hearing will be probably soon to disappear as the regime further flexes its muscles after its landslide victory at recent elections. The result of that travesty of democracy has already been interpreted by the regime as a mandate to toughen up, if that is possible, on dissent, as witnessed by the hearing of Biko's brother and the other arrests that are following. Political response in South Africa is determined wholly by domestic need, the need of the ruling white minority who put the fascist clique back into power by 80-1, who hold the economic, military, and political power. The world might rant and rave over what is going on in the country, but until the ruling minority itself softens up with the milk of humanity, very little will change. And that change cannot be expected without violent revolution. That is why that international pressure must be stepped up and not allowed to slacken. The only hope of those like Steve Biko, who are willing to risk their lives for the freedom of their people, is that they are not fighting alone, and that when they are martyred, they will be mourned by like-minded liberators who will continue the struggle. Should the international pressure be eased, which we suspect in Guyana that it will, then the Pretoria regime will be able once again to produce the sort of high-powered propaganda that steps into the communication systems of even progressive third world countries and cloud the reality of life in South Africa. International pressure has been able to produce the mandatory arms embargo which the United Nations Security Council recently was forced to slap on Pretoria, and may eventually produce some form of embargo against the regime in all areas of activity until there is a change for the better in South Africa. Such isolation is one way of making the regime understand the need of an offended humanity. The struggle for freedom is universal. The freedom is indivisible. The lofty concept is enshrined in commemorative plaques on monuments in Guyana and elsewhere. For the world is still at that stage of its development where there are other nations, other peoples, other groups of people who are just awaiting an opportunity to enslave others and make them produce for them while they manipulate the levers of power and elitism and play at being gods. If it is allowed to continue indefinitely in South Africa, it could be taken as an example of disinterest by most of mankind and be used as a model for governments elsewhere. But the struggle for majority government in South Africa, or even simply dismantling the edifice of apartheid, would be a long and hard process, not the least reason being that much of the world communication system still is in the hands of a powerful few, rich, who are of the mentality of the rulers of South Africa, if nothing more, has still not been sensitized enough to the issue, or does not even want to be, as most of the media, which is imperialist control in the USA. It is hard to say, for example, there is a persistent allusion in some international media to the minority in South Africa as the white tribe, or why Western television announcers prefer a phrase like, they are being forced to draw their wagons into an ever-tightening circle, thus alluding to them as the pioneers who settled the USA. What a terrible misnomer to call the fascist clique that has imposed this racist regime on South Africa. In any way, compare them to Democrats, or even a quasi-democratic republic. It is not the white minority in South Africa that are under siege, it is the black majority. And if most of the progressive world believes pressure should be put on the minority rulers, this is certainly not a case of beseeching them in the same sense that is conjured up by phrases reminiscent of the struggle of the Americans against the Indians in the West, even though that was a bloodthirsty imposition of terror on people that rightfully owned America. It is not the world's black encircling a small band with bloodthirsty intent, but the voice of humanity protesting often on grounds which have been taught by all that is held dear to Western civilization, democracy, humanity, and justice. Many governments may today be publicly against the system of government and its manifestations in South Africa, but many of the forces behind those governments, only have one more paragraph, have no intention to have the status quo change. That is a reality against which all genuine supporters of people like Biko have to face. All nations should take the lead of the USSR, the United Soviet Socialist Republics, and withdraw even their diplomatic recognition until the South African regime comes to coincide with policies of humanity. The months ahead may very likely witness a withdrawal of the regime further into itself, but only to the extent that it is pulling away from any overtures of international acceptance. This could mean even harder crackdown on dissent and the murder of many, many, many more Bikos. Further, the uproar over Steve Biko's death has been so well orchestrated that another fundamental issue, that of independence for Zimbabwe and for Namibia, have to vie hard for international attention these days. The Pretoria fascist regime is a colonial power in the area, and much of what eventually happens will depend on how it perceives its strategic and other interests. Should it feel, as seems probable, that it is being isolated further, then it will no doubt see no wisdom in wanting to cut loose from what was previously the high point of South African embarrassment, the intransigence of the Salisbury pirate clique in Zimbabwe, and its own determination to hold on in Namibia against wishes of the world. But that should not daunt freedom fighters. In fact, it should more help to harden the case for majority rule and genuine democracy, not only in Zimbabwe or piecemeal, but throughout Southern Africa, says the Chronicle reporter Mohammed Hamaladin. Now, the beginning of the movie. Thus ends commentary and reading of the news. Soldier Blue. Thank you.
Thank you. woman here that's about had since her age and they, you know, the little well.